There's some thoughts that have really been on my heart with regards to listening skills, and specifically my listening skills, but the sermons for you also today. I'm not the best listener, I never have been, but I'm trying to do a better job with that in my life. And I have a difficult time staying focused sometimes when I'm talking to people. My mind will kind of wander, and somebody will tell me something, and then I don't remember what they said, and I don't feel very good about myself. So I need to work on that as a person. So I was thinking about, how we listen to people when they talk to us, thinking about when we need to take what they say with a grain of salt, you know. When we talk about the scriptures, or if they're telling you something that's not quite right, you know, you need to take it to the Lord. Things when we need to look to the Lord rather than man. And then in our lives, as we go through our lives, how we need to just listen to God at all times, and we need to take time to talk with Him, you know, whether it be at work, if it's just when we're driving in our car, whatever time we have, we need to take advantage of the opportunity and listen to our Lord. And, you know, I don't always comprehend. I know I don't always comprehend what the Lord has for me and what He wants to tell me. And I need to do a better job at that. I need to do a better job at listening to man. And I need to do a better job at listening to the Lord. And I guess another reason why this thought popped into my mind is, I'm a supervisor at work now. I just started being a supervisor, and I've had some conflicts with some people over the years, and now I'm their supervisor. And there's been a couple occasions where I've been told, or it's been expressed to me, that I haven't been listening very well. And so, you know, as I take on this new role at work, you know, I need to care about them and their needs. I need to listen to them. And I've already started applying this idea as people have talked to me about subjects, and there's been a couple people at work that have emailed me some suggestions about things. People that I supervise, and I've gone and I forwarded those on to others. You know, I'm trying to help them out, trying to help our company out, and letting them know that I care about them and I care about what they think. I don't have to have all the right answers myself, and I'm not the most experienced person at my job. I'm not the most experienced engineer. There are people with a lot more experience than me, but I have to value their opinions, and I have to know that even though I don't have all the right answers, you know, I need to humble myself and realize that maybe they do. You know, maybe they do. And that's what I need to do a better job at. So again, I've broken the sermon up into three different parts. You know, what do the people we interact with want to tell us? What's on their mind? Do we listen to their needs? Do we care about them? Do we listen to their prayer requests when they have prayer requests? Do we bank these things away in our head and remember, you know, when we go home and when we're doing whatever, we remember their prayer requests, and do we lift them up in prayer? Or is it all about me? You know, I know what my needs are, I know what my wants and desires are, but sometimes I can be selfish. Do I listen to all of you, my brothers and sisters? Do I even care about my enemies? You know, to even pray for my enemies. You know, we often get in discussions with regards to doctrine and scripture, and that's the second part I wanted to talk about. You know, are we careful that we don't trust in the arm of flesh too much, and that we trust in what God tells to us? There's a time where you need to look to God as the support, as the source of influence with regards to what you believe, not what man thinks, what God thinks. That's what's the most important. And then the third part, it's kind of along those same lines. You know, as I go through life, what does God want to tell me? Am I listening to the Lord? Am I listening to people that I interact with? But at the same time, am I listening to the Lord? And then so doing, I can have spiritual success in my life. And I can help the people that you interact with have success in their life as well. When you listen to the Lord and you remember the wisdom that you've learned from God, and you can share it with them. So So the first part, listening to man. I've got some bullets here about leaders. Leaders need strong listening skills. Leading is not making all the decisions on your own, but listening to the opinions of others and considering them. Leading doesn't mean you personally will always have the right answer or know the path forward, but that those you lead may. Leading requires humility. Value other people and their opinions. So again, if you want to be a leader, you need strong listening skills. And it doesn't mean that you have to have a position of any sort, a supervisor or whatever. You can be a leader in your spiritual life. You know, do those things that God asks you, and you can be an example to others, and you can be successful in your spiritual life with the Lord, and you can help others out with their life as well. But I think, you know, one of the most important parts about this is this humility that's talked about here. If you don't have any humility, you know, how are you going to learn from others when they come and share something with you? If you think you have all the right answers and you see things the way you think they need to go, you see the path forward, but sometimes you got to stop for a second and you have to listen to what other people say and just think about it and then ask the Lord, is what they say, you know, what they're saying, is it right? Does it make sense? We're just one person in this life, just one person. You know, think of the people, the number of people there are in this world, and it's really humbling when you think about it that way. Slow down and take time to listen. I've got a few passages with regards to this. Proverbs 18:13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it's a folly and a shame unto him. And, you know, often I tend to, you know, have an answer, have an opinion with regards to something, and somebody will share something with me, and I'll just go and I'll blab, and I won't take the time to stop, hesitate, and think about what's going to come out of my mouth. And I don't listen to them. And, I show no love for them at all, no care for them with regards to their opinion. I just, you know, it's my way or the highway. Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Again, listen. Listen to what people are telling you. Listen to your scriptures. Listen to what the Lord has for you. You know, even if I'm much older than somebody else, even if I've lived here a lot longer in this life, I can still learn something from someone else. And even if I'm younger, you know, and I'm physically fit and I've got, you know, I can do anything, I can conquer the world, you know, I need to slow down and that, you know, alternatively, and look at those that have gone before me, you know, people that are older than me that have gone through life and that have seen, you know, the whole thing, how life works, have raised children, have had grandchildren, you know, and are approaching their last days in this world. You can really learn a lot from people if you take the time to consider their counsel. James 1:19-20, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Again, I've gotten myself into so much trouble when I have not slowed down and thought about what I was going to say to somebody. It's really hard. It's really hard, but it's a blessing when you... It's a blessing when you come to church here today, when you can leave church today thinking, you know, I didn't think I said anything that was hurtful. I really took the time to listen to people, you know, and know that you did a good job in that regard. We need to be careful about what comes out of our mouth. There's somebody at work that you know I struggle with. And he struggles with me, and we could be probably butt heads a little bit because maybe he's a lot like me. I don't know if that's it or not, but I'm a supervisor now. I ended up being a supervisor, and I had to go through this past week, and I had to sit down with each of these people that I supervise, and I had to talk to them about their job the progress they've made, you know, looking forward. We have to have goals. We put goals in a program. You got like 4 or 5 goals. You say, by this date, I need to get this done within the schedule and budget. So that's an example of a goal. But this person, he hasn't been necessarily the nicest to me in the past. He's been kind of rude. He hasn't really liked all of my ideas and all of my suggestions. But when I sat down with him this week, I let him know that I want to make sure I listen to him. You know, I humbled myself as I sat down with him, and he really appreciated it. And as soon as we left that meeting, I went back to my office, and I get all these emails from him. I think we should do this better, this better. Here's some ideas I have about this. He sent me like 4 emails. And so I started looking, reading at him. I said, yeah, this is really good. And I kind of forwarded them on to people that I also thought needed to get some of these ideas. But, you know, I'm glad that I did that. I'm glad that I told him that I cared about what he thought, and I took the time to do that. And one of the reasons why I took this job is because, you know, I'm introverted, and I don't always think about people as I should, and I thought this would be an opportunity for me to grow so I could care about the needs of others rather than myself. And I think we all need to work on that. We all need to work at that. This is just something I came across when I was putting together the sermon. Now, I don't know how much truth there is to this, but it kind of makes sense. It says, Dr. James Lynch, co-director of the Psychophysiological Clinic and Laboratories at the University of Maryland, has documented that an actual healing of the cardiovascular system takes place when we listen. Blood pressure rises when people speak and lowers when they listen. In fact, his studies show that blood pressure is actually lower when people are listening than when they are silently staring at a blank wall. According to Dr. Lynch, listening skills aren't just essential for good leadership, they're essential for good health. I think there's probably some truth to that. So if you want to lower your blood pressure, make sure you look at me up here when I'm talking and not over there. But it's interesting, and I think this makes sense. I think when we are spiritually where we need to be, when we're doing what we need to do in life, when we're following the path that the Lord has for us, you know, with thankfulness, not with worry, not with despair, when we're at peace in our life spiritually, I think that has a bearing on your health. I really think it does. This kind of relates to some of the things we were talking about today. You know, I think about this verse a lot, and I've used it before in the past. With regards to the humble followers of Jesus Christ, it says in 2 Nephi 12:14 to 17, because of pride and because of false teachers and false doctrine, their churches have been corrupted, and their churches are lifted up because of pride. They are puffed up. They rob the poor because of their fine sanctuaries. They rob the poor because of their fine clothing. And they persecute the meek and the poor in heart, because in their pride they are puffed up. They wear stiff necks and high heads, yea, and because of pride and wickedness and abominations and whoredoms, they have all gone astray, save it be a few, which are the humble followers of Jesus Christ. And the reason why I think about this verse as much as I do is because, you know, it tells us there are humble followers of Jesus Christ in all the churches that exist today. And there are people that have, some of these people have a great love for the Lord, a great passion for the Lord. You know, and I thought about the greatest commandment. It says, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That's the greatest commandment. And sometimes I need to listen to them. That's what this is all about. You know, maybe I could learn something for even them, you know, because we can. You know, just because you attend a certain church, you know, does not mean you're doing everything right in your life the way you should be. You need to consider those outside of our church that have a love for the Lord you know, a sincere love for the Lord, and maybe you can learn something. It doesn't mean that we throw away what we've learned. It doesn't mean like we throw away our scriptures. We have to use them and follow them, because if we love the Lord, we will keep His commandments, like it says in Scripture. But even take time to listen to them. You may not agree with them about everything, but you might be able to learn something from them. With regards to our spouse, and I don't always do, often do the best job of listening to Kelly, and I need to work on that. You know, I need to do better at that. But there's a scripture I wanted to turn to. It's in Matthew 27, 16 to 25. Again, this is all with regards to listening to people that we interact with. Matthew 27, 16 to 25 says, "And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governors answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. So, you know, of course, what I wanted to talk about, if you go back to verse 19, his wife told him, you know, have nothing to do with this just man. She had a dream about Jesus. And I don't know if she had known anything about Jesus Christ before this dream or not. I don't know if she was a follower of Jesus Christ in any way. And I tend to think that she probably was not and didn't know about the Lord. But I could be wrong. But she had this dream, and she took the time because of this dream to share it with Pilate. You know, there's great wisdom here. You know, have nothing to do with, you know, don't be responsible for crucifying Jesus Christ, you know. You be careful what's going on here. I had this dream about him. And I don't know how much of this Pilate took in, you know, how much of it he took to heart. I don't know. But this woman, you know, this Roman, had this dream. And there was wisdom here that she shared with Pilate. And Pilate needed to listen. And you can see here when it gets down to the end here, you know, Pilate washed his hands before the multitude. You know, it's not my fault what you do to this man. And he may have said some of this because of what his wife told him. And he kind of saw the same thing and realized that what his wife said was true. You know, so take the time to listen to your spouse. Listening so we can pray. John 17:9, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. You know, Christ always in his ministry, he was actively praying for his followers. He was always praying. And then we've got the story in the Book of Mormon, 3 Nephi 8:19-20. And no one can conceive of the joy which filled our souls at the time we heard him pray for us unto the Father. And it came to pass that when Jesus had made an end of praying unto the Father, he arose. But so great was the joy of the multitude that they were overcome. You know, to have their Lord sit there and pray for them, you know, what a great blessing it was for them to be able to see that. You know, the Lord who has all power, being able to pray to the Father, you know, Jesus Christ in the flesh. And they were so happy. They were happy probably because they knew that he cared for them, and he cared about their needs and their prayer requests. So, you know, Jesus took the time to listen to others. And we need to do the same thing. We need to listen to others. We need to hear their prayer requests. And when I hear somebody praying for me, you know, if we'll have a time of prayer in church or whatever it may be, you know, it brings me joy because I know they care about me. So it's not always about us. We need to be careful that we're not always sharing our problems with others, but we're listening to others and we care about their problems and we're praying for them. You have to listen to them to be an effective, you know, prayer warrior. You have to listen to them or you're not going to know what to pray about. Number two, not listening to man. You know, when do we not listen to man? A familiar passage, 2 Timothy 4, 3-4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." And then we see that in our day. And we need to be careful that we don't do the same thing. You know, we need to go to our scripture and we need to take it to the Lord. Ask the Lord, you know, is this right? Is this, am I interpreting this passage correctly? And see what the Lord tells you. You know, and even I might say something that's not right up here in the pulpit. You know, I hope that when I'm up here, I'm letting the Lord speak and not myself. But you just need to, you need to have a personal belief in these scriptures. You need to know what you believe, and you need to fight for what's right. You know, not with anger, but just stick up for what's right. And don't get upset about it. Just know that you did the right thing, and go on with your life. And don't get all worked up about something because somebody doesn't agree with you because of your pride. Revelation 17, 1 through 5. "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stone and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots, and Abominations of the Earth." So, you know, there's some additional thought with regards to what we have here in the Book of Mormon that kind of reveals more about this. But if you go back, you know, in Revelation, you know, you go back here to Revelation chapter 12, you see that pure woman, that pure Church of Christ. And then you see this harlot woman. And, you know, why is she a harlot? It's because, you know, being the bride of Christ, she has united herself with another man. So, you know, she's taken on the name of this other man, you know, united herself with him. So we should not do the same thing. You know, we should not put our faith in any one person, any one pastor, you know, anyone that's in any type of leadership position at the church. You should put your faith in, you know, the Word of God and God, what He reveals to you through the Holy Spirit. You know, we just need to be careful that we don't fall into this same boat here that we read about. And unfortunately, you know, that's where the world is. The world wants people who can speak, you know, who have good speech capability and are powerful speakers. That's what they like. But that's not what it's about. Acts 5:27-29 says, "And when they had brought them," this is the apostles, They set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man or men." So, you know, they were so convicted of the gospel, and they had this responsibility as apostles, and you have a responsibility as Christians. They really, you know, they had the responsibility as Christians that they weren't going to falter, and no matter what happened to them, they were going to stick up for the truth because it was what God wanted for them. It wasn't what somebody else wanted for them. You know, it wasn't because they didn't change their mind and go back to their homes and never again preach the gospel because they didn't want to get embarrassed or they didn't want to get flogged or whatever it may be. You know, they stood up for what was right because it was what needed to be done, and it had bearing on their own salvation. It had bearing on the salvation of others. You know, they had a fear of the Lord that they wanted to make sure they did what the Lord had for them. You know, that's what's most important. 2 Nephi 12:36-39. "For behold, thus saith the Lord God, I will give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And blessed are they that hearken unto my precepts and lend an ear unto my counsel, for they shall learn wisdom. For unto him that receiveth I will give more, and them that shall say we have enough, for them shall be taken away even that which they have. Cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm, or shall hearken unto the precepts of men, save their precepts shall be given by the power of the Holy Ghost." So when you humble yourself, and you consider the word of God, you know, you've got this Bible, and you're humbling yourself, and you're seeing things in the Bible, I think this means that this doctrine I understand in this way. I see that, you know, I need to be baptized. It says for the remission of sins here. And I see where they are practicing the laying on of hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I see that I need to love the Lord God with all my heart, mind, and soul. And this and that and this and that. When you humble yourself and believe what the Scripture tells you, when you're open to receive from the Lord, he'll give you more wisdom and more knowledge. You know, then he might give you the Book of Mormon to read. So we need to make sure we don't cut ourselves off from what the Lord wants to tell us, what the Lord wants to share with us, that we're open to listen to him and what he has to say, and not, you know, have a stiff neck like it talks about in Scripture. If we humble ourselves before the Lord, we will learn doctrine, it says in the Scripture. 2 Nephi 12:36-39, "For behold, thus saith the Lord God, I will give unto the children of men..." Didn't I just read that? I got it twice. Yeah. Yeah, you won't forget it now. Galatians 1:10-12. This is what Paul was saying. "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." You don't need somebody, you know, you can listen to somebody and get their opinion about something, but go to the Lord, open up your Scripture, see what it says. It's all there. What you need, you know, you're going to find it. You're going to find it. And some people might say, well, this is Paul. Paul, he was an apostle. So he could do whatever he wanted to, you know. He didn't need somebody to teach him. He didn't need to go to seminary school. But it's not like that at all. It's like this with everybody. You know, everybody can figure out the things of God if they go to the Lord in humbleness and ask him what's right. Ask him what's right, and he will tell you what's right. Number three, listening to God. The last third. The Lord listens to us. 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." and what I took from this when I read this was, you know, the Lord listens to you. The Lord listens to you. You know, shouldn't we listen to Him? Shouldn't we listen to Him? And, you know, people often say we need to have a personal relationship with the Lord. And you do need a relationship with the Lord. But what kind of relationship is it? Is it a one-way relationship where the Lord's trying to tell you things and you're not listening and you're doing things your way? Or is it a bi-directional relationship? Are you listening to what He says and making changes in your life based on that? You know, are you applying what he says with you? The relationship needs to be based on God's Word. If you follow God's Word and what it says and its direction, you're going to end up having this relationship with the Lord. You know, you don't have to try to figure out what this relationship is, how it should be structured, because Scripture tells you the way it should be structured. When you follow God's Word, you're going to end up with that relationship with the Lord. Pride, Jacob 2:21. And oh, that you would listen unto the word of His commands, and let not this pride of your hearts destroy your souls. So I've talked about this a little bit. If you've got pride in your life, you're not willing to be flexible. If you believe something that maybe is not right, take it to the Lord. Even if you need direction in your life, if you've got a prayer request or there's a tough time you're going through, you know, go to the Lord and say, I need your help. Would you help me? And see what His answer is to you. Don't think that you need to take care of everything on your own. You need to be humble enough to ask the Lord to help you. You need to be humble. Another verse about pride. This is another familiar passage. Moroni 10:4-5, and when ye shall receive these things, I would exhort you that you would ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are not true. And if you shall ask with a sincere heart, with real intent, having faith in Christ, and He will manifest the truth of it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the power of the Holy Ghost you may know the truth of all things. And it doesn't say, you know, go talk to this person or that person over there. It says, pray to the Father, and then by the Holy Ghost, that Holy Ghost is going to direct you to where you need to go. He's going to testify to you as to what is right and what is wrong. There's the time in the Book of Mormon where the Church of Christ was in pure harmony and love with one another. And if we all listen to the Lord, and if all were humble, and if we had, you know, spiritual ears to hear what He said to us, there would be complete harmony within the church, because we would look to the Lord, and He would share the same thing with all of us. If we all were where we needed to be, it would be a great blessing to the church. You know, but unfortunately, we don't do that. But we need to do a better attempt at doing that. Listening with your heart, Matthew 13:9-17. And this, you know, Jesus shares a parable, and then He talks about, the disciples ask Him why He speaks in parables. In verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto Him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. So, you know, we have this great blessing that we have these scriptures that people have compiled for us and put all together. So, you know, you can go out and you can buy these books and you can read them. They're all available to you. But Christ wants you to listen spiritually. You know, he wants you to take it into your heart and hear with your heart what he has to say to you. You know, it's not, I don't know if amazing is the right word, but Christ can give a parable and it can make total sense to one person, but to somebody else it doesn't make any sense at all. And that's, you know, the way God works. Something can be so plain to us that we read in Scripture, but it can be, you know, somebody else interpreted it totally different and they aren't going to follow what it says, even though it's so obvious to us. So we need to make sure that we take everything to the Lord, and we have ears to hear, but do you have, you know, spiritual ears to hear? You know, to take it in and to understand it and to think about it and to believe it with your soul and your thoughts. Acts 2:29-41. And we were talking about this in Sunday school today, a little bit. Acts 2:29-41. So, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith in himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. The Father said to the Son, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And what we were talking about in Sunday school is, you know, there seems to be no hesitancy here. You know, these people, they understood enough of what they needed to know, you know, about what happened to Jesus Christ, that they crucified him, that he fulfilled the scriptures. And just like that, they repented of their sins, they believed, and they were baptized. It says there's 3,000 souls that were baptized. You know, they didn't hesitate about it. They did it. They knew what was right. They were listening with their heart, and they did it. So there needs to be no hesitancy with us when we read something in Scripture. If we have a struggle, a day-to-day struggle, or something that happens, and the Lord gives you a Scripture and tells you what you need to do, you need to do it and not hesitate about it, not be embarrassed. Because you may have to speak up or say something that somebody else might not like, or you just need to get up and do something, and, you know, not be lazy about it. You just need to take care of a situation, no matter, you know, what it may mean to you. It might mean that you have to humble yourself. You know, you have to get rid of some pride. It may mean you have to ask for forgiveness from somebody. But You just need to do it, and you'll feel better about it after you do so. 1 Nephi 5:146-150. And he has spoken unto you in a still small voice, but ye were past feeling, that you could not feel his words. Wherefore he has spoken unto you like unto the voice of thunder, which did cause the earth to shake as if it were to divide asunder. And ye also know that by the power of his almighty word he can cause the earth that it shall pass away. Yea, and ye know that by his word he can cause that rough places be made smooth. The smooth places shall be broken up. Oh, then why is it that ye can be so hard in your hearts? And, you know, this is Nephi to his brethren, to his brothers. Even though they had seen so much and seen the power of God, they were still stubborn. You know, even as it says here, places be made smooth, smooth places shall be broken up. They saw, what the Lord did, the power of the Lord, but they still hardened their hearts against the Lord. We've talked about, like in our Tuesday night Bible study, about, it seems like if you show them an archaeological evidence or the Book of Mormon or this or that, you know, even about the Bible, there are plenty of websites about the Bible that say the Bible's not right, it's not true. But I was thinking about, the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Even if, they send him a spirit, they still would not believe. And that's kind of the attitude that Nephi's brothers had here. It's a matter of the heart. It's not a matter of what you see temporally in this life. It's what you open your heart to spiritually. We know in the Bible it talks about this prophet likened to Moses. It says in Deuteronomy 18:18-19, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. And then the Book of Mormon, Christ provides clarification with regards to this. 3 Nephi 9:60-61. Behold, I am he of whom Moses spake, saying, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. So, of course, the requirement, you listen to the Lord, you follow your scriptures. It's really as simple as that. You do that, and you're not going to be cut off from the Lord. It's very plain. It's very simple. I know this seems like this overwhelming sometimes, having all these pages to look through. But there's the basics of the gospel, the principles of the gospel. There's the Sermon on the Mount. These parables. If you take the time, God gives you enough time in your lifetime. He's going to give you what you need to take the time to look through this, for you personally. And he's going to judge you according to what you've been given. Maybe you won't live for very long. And maybe somebody, maybe you didn't get the chance to look into all these things. And the Lord is going to understand that. But it just emphasizes that you got to hear, you got to listen to the Lord. It's just that simple message. I've got a couple of things we need to do with regards to this. Attend and pay attention in church. Acts 20:7-12. And I think I've got time. I'll just go ahead and turn to this. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep, and fell down from the third loft, and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. So, you know, I don't know, this young man, he could have had a real busy day, he could have gotten up early, worked hard, I don't know, because I don't know why he fell asleep. It could have been for one of those reasons, it could be because he didn't care about what Paul had to say, but it says here that Paul was he was just preaching a long time, and that could have something to do with it too. So, it's perfectly, if this man was tired, he fell asleep. But no matter what the circumstances were here, I just kind of use it as an example that we need to pay attention in church and take advantage of the opportunities that we have. And even listening online, you can get online Sunday and you can listen to a sermon online. If you can't do it in the morning, you can do it in the evening if you want to. You have opportunities in life that the Lord gives you, and you need to take advantage of those opportunities when you have them. You know, there are people that are listening right now online, and they are taking advantage of the time that they have. They don't have to be here, but they're taking the time, wherever they are, to give of themselves to the Lord. Because the Lord only gives you so much time in this life. It's not going to last forever. So while you have the time, you need to use it wisely. And I believe that there needs to be a degree of recreation in a person's life. And I think that's healthy. But you need to make sure you don't do so much recreation that you don't have any time for the Lord. And you need to make sure that if you come to church, that you're not doing it because you think you just have to, or because what somebody might think if you don't do it. You need to go come to church for the right reasons, because it's the right thing to do. It's what the Lord asks you to do, and you need to be a state of mind that you want to come to church. I don't always feel like getting out of bed. I don't like getting up in the morning. I didn't like getting up in the morning, early in the morning today, because I'm not a morning person, but it was the right thing to do, and I'm glad I did it. But I don't always have the right attitude myself. So, warning, sleeping through sermons may cause death. And there's truth to that. There's spiritual truth to that. Not that you get everything you need from a sermon. It's not just one time a week. It's every day, I only do so much, The ministers in the church only do so much. It's up to you, You're going to be responsible for your eternal salvation. Attend conferences and reunions, Mosiah 1, 27 to 35. It's on page 209. And now it came to pass that Mosiah went and did as his father had commanded him, and proclaimed unto all the people which are in the land of Zarahemla, that thereby they might gather themselves together to go up to the temple to hear the words which his father should speak unto them. And it came to pass that after Mosiah had done as his father had commanded him, and had made a proclamation throughout all the land, that the people gather themselves together throughout all the land, that they might go up to the temple to hear the words which King Benjamin should speak unto them. And there were a great number, even so many that they did not number them, for they had multiplied exceedingly and waxed great in the land. And they also took of their firstlings of their flocks, that they might offer sacrifice and burnt offerings according to the law of Moses, and also that they might give thanks to the Lord their God, who had brought them out of the land of Jerusalem, and who had delivered them out of the hands of their enemies, and had appointed just men to be their teachers, and also a just man to be their king. So they took this seriously. They took the time to go to this big gathering here. They didn't sit back where they lived. They took the time to go hear King Benjamin speak. Verse 32, who had established peace in the land of Zarahemla, and who had taught them the commandments of God, that thereby they might rejoice and be filled with the love of God, love towards God and all men. And it came to pass that when they came up to the temple, they pitched their tents round about, every man according to his family, consisting of his wife and his sons and his daughters and their sons and their daughters, from the eldest down to the youngest, every family being separate from one another. And they pitched their tents round about the temple, every man having his tent with the door thereof towards the temple, that thereby they might remain in their tents and hear the words which King Benjamin should speak unto them. For the multitude being so great that King Benjamin could not teach them all within the walls of the temple, therefore he caused a tower to be erected, that thereby his people might hear his words which he should speak unto them. So they even took it seriously enough that in verse 33 here, they took their wife and they took their kids because they knew how important it was, you know, to bring their children, for their children to have the blessing of being able to hear King Benjamin and to be able to take in what he said and to hear about salvation and the plan of salvation. They did it. So we need to take these kind of things seriously as well. And not everybody can attend a conference or a reunion. We know that. It's not always possible. But I think it's good if we have a desire to be there, you know, we have the right heart. You know, the Lord wants us to take the time to be able to listen to his servants talk or just to share our testimony. When you go to a reunion or conference, you know, it's not just the ministry. You know, you have a testimony to share and you can talk to people. It doesn't even have to be during a sacrament service. It could just be your example to help other people, or you, the Lord puts something on your heart that you want to talk to somebody else about. So it's just along those, the same lines, that we have to take advantage of the opportunities that we have and that we've been given. Because these things are worth your time and they are worth your effort. Listen daily, Luke 9:23, and said it to them all, if any man will come up after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So there's an effort to listen. You know, you have to forget about other things. You know, maybe you want to take time to watch TV or do something else. And maybe most of your time is spent doing that, but you need to deny the world, turn the TV off, and take time to listen to the Lord. This was about the church, you know, about being hot or cold. Revelation 3:14-16, I'll start with 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And when I read this verse when I was younger, when I was, you know, a teenager, and this verse scared me. I wasn't living my life the way I should have, but I knew this verse. I knew I wasn't hot, and I had a youth minister. He asked me, or he shared this verse with me one time, and because he knew the way I was living my life and what I was doing, because I wasn't hot for the Lord. You know, it's not always easy to be hot for the Lord, but we need to strive for that daily, all the time. Trying to have that passion and love for the Lord. And then if we do this, a reward, Isaiah 55:3, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. You know, we have the blessing that the Lord gave us his gospel. We have the plainness of the gospel here in our scripture. And if you follow it, you know, you can enter into a covenant with the Lord, you know, making a covenant with him that you will serve him the rest of your days. And that's because of what the Lord did for us. It's a sacrifice that was made for us. And we need to be thankful about that. Thankful that the Lord cares about us, that he wants to listen to us. And thankful that we can go to him and you know, share our prayer requests with him. So my sermon summary, I've just got some bullets to end. Take time to listen to others. Consider what they have to say. You don't know everything. Take note of their prayer requests. At the same time, with regards to spiritual matters, don't put too much confidence in the beliefs of others. Take it to the Lord. God's opinion is ultimately what matters. The Lord listens to you. Shouldn't you listen to Him? Take time away from the world to pray and have fellowship with the Lord. Take advantage of the opportunities you have to hear the Word of God. Follow the Lord in all things, even if it means eliminating pride and humbling yourself before others. Don't be so confident that you are not able to change your belief about something and unwilling to listen. Listen with your heart. Thank God that He's willing to listen and talk with you. Be grateful for the God that we have. That's it. So, like I said, I need to work on my listening skills. And we all do. So let's just think about these things this week and the weeks to follow. Let's try to do a better job at listening to others and at listening to the Lord. And applying it in our lives, and it will be, it will be well with us.